I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. We know Jackie Robinson as Major League Baseball's first black player, a Hall of Famer who stood as a symbol of integration and civil rights. But after retirement, Robinson set out to make his pen as mighty as his bat ever was. Robinson wrote letters and corresponded with many of the greatest players in the civil rights arena. Here's a bit of a letter to Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., May 13, 1967.
Dear Martin, in my book, you've always been the greatest civil rights mastermind and leader which the movement has ever had. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel you are utterly on the wrong track in your stand on Vietnam. I'm confused because I respect you deeply, but I also love this imperfect country. I respectfully ask you to answer this open letter and give me your own point of view, with the deepest regard and the deepest confusion.
The Civil Rights Letters of Jackie Robinson are compiled in a new book called First Class Citizenship. It's edited by Michael Long.
I discovered that Jackie Robinson had written lots of letters to lots of leaders, everybody from Ike Eisenhower to Malcolm X, from John Kennedy to Martin Luther King.
We know that he was a ferocious competitor, keeping his head in the game and ignoring the racial indignities that were spewed his way while he was integrating Major League Baseball. In 1960, though, we find a retired Jackie Robinson working as a columnist for the New York Post, and it was during an election year. Talk, if you will, about two things. One, this informal civil rights leader and how that insinuated his politics.
Because he was so committed to establishing first-class citizenship for what he would call my people. And that was his number one commitment. That was his major passion after baseball. And he would frequently say, you know, the baseball years were good. My real passion is in civil rights. And it's for advancing my people, to helping them get into the economic mainstream, helping voting rights to come along. So this was his real major passion after baseball.
Now, that's one of the things. Let me stop you there to say that's one of the things that makes the letters between Jackie Robinson and Richard Nixon at the time so compelling reading. I'd like to direct your attention to one letter in particular in the book.
My dear Mr. Nixon, Kennedy has sent to others, as he did to me, your record prior to 1950. I, too, need answers to negative questions people constantly put at me. Believe me, it is most difficult to answer people who seem to have documentary evidence of what you said or did. When you withhold positive things, an image isn't easy to erase. But it can be done if you display a warmth or as much sincerity as you can regarding the Negro status. Many of my friends have expressed an interest, but the great majority say, I don't feel I can go along at the present time. Thanks again. Sincerely yours, Jackie Robinson.
Now, he supported Richard Nixon and got a great deal of flack for that, didn't he?
Yes, he did. By the way, Rachel Robinson was no big fan of Richard Nixon either. Nevertheless, Jackie Robinson was very attracted to Richard Nixon. He believed that Nixon made many pro-civil rights statements, and indeed Nixon did. In the early 1950s, he would say things like, every act of discrimination in the United States is like handing the communists a gun. And Robinson ate that up. He loved that because very few politicians were talking like that. And so he was a big fan of Nixon in 1960. And yes, indeed, he took a lot of flack for it.
Jackie Robinson, through the letters, indicates that his positions changed. Also, to some degree, with Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Now, here's a letter that was written from Robinson to Lyndon Johnson. And it seems to suggest that Robinson is trying to assuage the fears of Johnson that all blacks are not like Martin Luther King. Here's what he says.
April 18th, 1967. Dear Mr. President, while I am certain your faith has been shaken by the demonstrations against the Vietnam War, I hope the actions of any one individual doesn't make you feel, as Vice President Humphrey does, that Dr. King's stand will hurt the civil rights movement. There are hundreds of thousands of us at home who are not certain why we are in the war. We feel, however, that you and your staff know what is best, and we are willing to support your effort for an honorable solution to the war. Again, sir, let me thank you for your domestic stand on civil rights. We need an even firmer stand as the issue becomes more personal and the gap between black and white Americans gets wider. Sincerely yours, Jackie Robinson.
That seems to be a clear split, doesn't it, with King over the issue of the war as he relates it to the president, LBJ.
That is a clear split. You're right about that, Tony. And if I may back up just a little bit, I don't want to emphasize the split too much because Robinson and King were really heroes to each other. From 1957 on, they're going back and forth, inviting each other to various activities that each was involved in. King invited Robinson to come to Albany and to come to Birmingham and to chair a campaign to rebuild burned churches, churches that were scorched because of their voting rights efforts. Robinson and King were really heroes to each other. The split between King and Robinson is real, though. We have to remember that Jackie and Rachel Robinson had a son, Jackie Jr., who was serving in Vietnam. They had an obligation to support their son. And at the same time, Jackie did have questions about the Vietnam War engagement, but he was willing to give a pass to LBJ. He just assumed that the president had information that we didn't have. He also believed that Martin Luther King Jr. was putting too much of the blame on the United States and not enough blame on the communists.
In contrast to even the perception of a split between Robinson and King, there is no doubt that there was a very visible and wide split between Malcolm X and Robinson. Jackie Robinson had written very critically about Malcolm X in a newspaper article, and this is Malcolm.
According to the attack you leveled against me and Congressman Powell in your recent column, I must confess that even today you still display the same old speed, the same cunning, and shiftiness, and you are still trying to win the big game for your white boss.
Now, in response to that, Jackie Robinson wrote back to Malcolm X a blistering letter, and this is one passage from it.
You mouth a big and bitter battle, Malcolm, but it's noticeable that your militancy is mainly expressed in Harlem, where it is safe.
Jackie Robinson was an integrationist. Malcolm X was not. Malcolm X favored the use of any means necessary to rectify the injustices against African Americans. Jackie Robinson did not. In this sense, he was just like King. He favored nonviolence in the civil rights movement here in the United States. And he felt as if Malcolm X was misleading the masses into thinking that of that black separate state as a possibility. But you're right. There was no love lost at all between these two.
Now, my producer and I really did enjoy reading these various letters back and forth. But I do have a question because not all the letters were actually written by Jackie Robinson himself, were they?
Right. A lot of them were. And Rachel has images in her head of Jackie Robinson sitting down at the table and at the desk and writing these letters. I talked with her about that briefly. Nevertheless, Robinson did on occasion use ghostwriters. They include Alfred Duckett and Evelyn Cunningham, formerly of the Pittsburgh Courier, and a few others. And they would help him craft letters. And these were professional writers who really helped give form and shape to Robinson's thoughts. And while they did help him craft his letters, those thoughts are uniquely Jackie Robinson's. So let's keep that in mind as well.
Very nice job. Thank you very much for coming on, Michael. We appreciate it.
Tony, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Michael G. Long has edited the Civil Rights Letters of Jackie Robinson. The book is called First Class Citizenship.